Good morning, church. Today's Bible reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for I, your servant, hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now ready and willing to hear your word. We ask that you would help us to open our hearts, our minds to your voice, that you would give us ears to hear. May your word resonate within us, and may you transform us from the inside out. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for your word, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you considered this morning that you are here not by accident, not by chance? You are here by divine appointment. We are here because the Lord has something to say to us, something that he wants to teach us, something that he wants to reveal to us. He wants to encourage, comfort, and guide. And he has invited you here this morning, and you have responded. You have been prompted by the Lord to come. And you know, God is always speaking. God is always speaking, but are we listening? Last week, Naomi Kay spoke from John 15, and that's that familiar passage where Jesus says that he is the vine and we are the branches. And she spoke about the dichotomy of Jesus being both our king and our friend. How he can be our king and our friend at the same time. In another parable, Jesus spoke of himself as being the good shepherd. And that brings out his authority as king. He's the shepherd, but he's the good shepherd, our good shepherd. It indicates that he wants to be our friend as well. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We hear from the Lord and we obey. He is our good shepherd. And so the Lord is speaking. He is always speaking, but are we listening? "My sheep are those who hear my voice and follow me." Just over 3,000 years ago, one night, a young fella lay in bed. And this was a time when God's voice was rather silent due to the disobedience and the rebellion, the arrogance and the apathy of his people in Israel, the Hebrew people. And there were few people receiving visions from God. And that night God spoke. And he said, "Samuel." Now Samuel, who had not heard God's word before, thought it must have been his master and the priest, Eli. And so he got up and he went in to him. And God called three times, and three times Samuel went into Eli asking what he wanted. Well, finally the penny dropped for Eli that this was God calling Samuel. And so he said to him in verse 9, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Samuel was now ready to listen to and listen for the word of God. Are we? Are we expecting God to speak to us? And do we give him opportunity to speak to us? Do we slow down, make space and time, quieten the noise just like in the middle of the night, and listen? Do we read God's word and listen for the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit? For God doesn't speak to us in ways that we can't understand him. He doesn't. Samuel knew that someone was calling his name, and God's word is not meant to be only understood by the few. Anyone who reads God's word should be able to understand it, and so we are without excuse. If we want to know God, all we have to do is read his word and listen. So a fourth time, God comes to call on Samuel. God's persistent, isn't he? Have you found that and appreciated God's persistence? Have there been lessons that God has taught you over the years and retaught you time and time again? Some of us, we seem to be slow learners. Hearing an audible voice of God was not and is not a common occurrence. This was not an everyday event, a conversation between the Creator and the created. But God's persistence was evident, and he longs to communicate with us on a moment-by-moment basis. He is so gentle with us. And he wants the best for us. And when we're listening and obedient, he transforms us over time to be more like Christ. What an amazing God. So verse 10. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at other times, Samuel. Samuel, then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. Notice that God's call to Samuel is personal. He gains his attention, making it very clear to Samuel that he wants to communicate with Samuel a message. But Samuel needs to let God know that he is listening. And this the fourth time now that God has requested his attention, Samuel gives it. God is patient with us. He is so patient with us. He is our friend, and he is gentle. He is our loving Father. And gentleness is one of the fruit of the Spirit, but gentleness is one of the characteristics of God, his character traits. Gentleness means that the strength of God's words are in perfect control. And he constantly urging us to walk and talk with him and learn from him. And perhaps you, like Moses, have come to appreciate God's persistence and his patience and his gentleness. And just as Moses expressed it, maybe you can express it in this way too. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. Do you know God like that? Praise God for his patience, for his friendly manner in which he communicates with us, his gentleness. And God's call is clear. Samuel heard God speak with clarity. This was not some vague impression or a fleeting thought. It was clear, unmistakable, and understood. This clarity is not just for Samuel, but for all of us. God's voice is not a mystery. It's not a riddle. It's clear and understandable. He speaks to us through his word, the Bible. He speaks to us through his spirit. He speaks to us through circumstances and events. He speaks to us through other people. And sometimes he speaks in the middle of the night, in the quiet of the night. His voice is clear and unmistakable. If we are listening and it lines up with his word, then we know it is God. And notice too that God calls Samuel in the middle of the night, when it's quiet. It's one of the things I appreciate about living out at Kingsthorpe. It's so quiet in the middle of the night. God speaks to us when it's quiet, where we can hear his voice, when there is less noise and distraction, and perhaps we can think more clearly. Do you lay awake at night sometimes thinking? I'm sure you do. And God speaks. God prompts your thoughts, as he did with me at 2 a.m. this last Tuesday morning, with this thought to include in the message today. Not only does God speak in the middle of the night, but in the dark of night. For it is in the dark of night that we often stumble. And perhaps you're going through a really dark time right now, a dark time in your life, and it feels like you're in the dark, and you wish you could see clearly and understand why God is allowing what is going on. It's dark times. Never forget that God is with you. You know, you've heard the saying, there is light at the end of the tunnel. I want to remind you, there is light in the tunnel with you. And although you might not understand or want to go through this dark time, God is speaking his words of comfort, and his hope is that you will trust him even more. Even though you walk through the dark valley of the shadow of death, God is with you. God is with you. But thirdly, as our king, God's call carries authority. God's call always carries authority, but he speaks without suggestion or proposal, seeking approval, but rather with authority and purpose. His authority is always from a position of purpose. There's a reason why he speaks. He said to Samuel, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. Everyone will be somewhat surprised, but also convicted and challenged about their own level of love, obedience and servanthood before God as they hear about what I'm about to do. God's voice always carries authority. And when he speaks, again, as I mentioned, he speaks from a position of purpose. He doesn't waste his words and get involved in meaningless chatter, as we often do. He speaks with purpose for change, for growth, for comfort, for guidance, for encouragement, for conviction, always for our best. He speaks for transformation, meant to shape, mould, grow, develop, prune, to create Christ-like character, to help us to become more like Jesus. And it was in the quiet solitude of the temple one night Samuel heard God's voice. It was not a distant echo, but a clear and distinct call, and God's call demands submission. Samuel's response was immediate and unreserved. He said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Your servant is listening. This was not a passive act of listening, but an active commitment to obey. And this can be problematic for us in today's culture. Obedience is not a popular concept in our culture today. We're taught to value independence, autonomy, and personal freedom. But in the kingdom of God, obedience is a virtue, a good and desirable quality, for it acknowledges and demonstrates who the rightful king is. It's a sign of our love for God and our submission to his authority. You know, when we obey God's word, we align our lives with his will. We become instruments of his grace and vessels of his love. And although the news was not so good for Eli, and this is the news that would make all of the Hebrew people sit up and take notice, Eli's response is appropriate and commendable as well. God says in verses 12 to 14, God said to Samuel, "At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons blasphemed God and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." This was shocking news to the Hebrew people. Eli was their priest. But it was news that would cause them self-examination. If this can happen for Eli, what about me? Eli had failed the Lord, his sons, and the Hebrew people. And yet his response was to humbly accept that he, his sons, and the Hebrew people were subject to God, their king, and dependent upon him for all things. He knew his place before God. After Samuel told Eli what the Lord was about to do, his response in verse 18, Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." He's the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. Just like Eric Little from Naomi mentioned him last week, and this was a quote about Eric Little. "He never questioned anything that happened either to himself or to others. He didn't need explanations from God. He simply believed in God and accepted whatever came." This is holding Jesus in his rightful place as king and as friend. Trusting him as our friend. This is faith. And this is how sheep follow the good shepherd, listening for his voice and accepting that he knows what is best and will do what is best. But I think that a common problem for many of us is that we're not really ready to listen. Franklin Roosevelt was very much aware of this problem, that people don't really listen. And as the American president at the time, he often endured long lines of people who would be welcomed and received into the White House. And one day during one of these receptions, he decided to try an experiment. To each person that passed by him, he shook their hand and he murmured something. Not real clear. He didn't say it loud, but he murmured, "I murdered my grandfather this morning." And the guests, mostly, responded in polite ways, "Marvellous, keep up the good work. Oh, God bless you, sir." It wasn't until the end of the line and he's greeting the ambassador from Bolivia that his words were actually heard. And the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I guess he had it coming." God is always speaking, but are we listening? And if we're not, then maybe we've got it coming too. Just like Eli. So how is God speaking today? How is God speaking today? First, through creation. Joe's mentioned a heap of these this morning. Through creation. Check out the world around you, the beauty of nature, the stars at night, the waves of the ocean. They all shout out that God is alive. He is the creator. And he's trying to get our attention. Second, the little small voice inside your head that tells you right from wrong. That's God speaking into your conscience. You know right from wrong. Third, God can use what's happening in your life to speak to you. Whether it's a tough situation at school or a conversation with a friend, God can get his message across to you. Fourth, Jesus is God's exact representation of God. He is God in human form. And as we read what Jesus said and did in the Bible, we are hearing directly from God. Fifth, the Bible is God's word, and it's full of his words of wisdom, and it's always relevant. Sixth, the Holy Spirit is prompting our thoughts to bring words of comfort, conviction, encouragement, and guidance. He prompted you to come this morning. He's helping us to understand what God is saying. And lastly, God speaks through his church. When we hang out with other believers, we can hear God's voice in one another's words and actions. So God is always speaking. Are we listening? God reminds us of his word, in his word, of his word, that it is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes. The eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So if nothing is hidden from God, and it is to him who we give an account, then we better be listening when he's speaking. And we must be ready to obey, just like Samuel and Eli. I trust that we might slow down, we might make space and time, quieten the noise, seek a place of solitude, perhaps a retreat day just with the Lord, a prayer closet, get alone with God. And if Jesus needed to create space in his days to retreat, to press into stillness and to hear from his Father, how much more do you and I? If Jesus needed to create space in his days to retreat, to press into stillness and hear from his Father, how much more do we? So let's sing our praises. Sing our praises to the one who speaks, who heals, who restores, who redeems, who comforts, who forgives, who does so much for us. So let's stand and sing together.